Dada da ma da va kunja bihari. Jada da madhava kunja bihari. Gopi jana valava girivara dari. Gopi jana valava girivara dari. Yashoda nandana braja jana ranjana. Yashoda nandana braja jana ranjana. Jamuna tira vanachari. Jamuna tira vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi jana valava girivara dari. Gopi jana valava girivara dari. Yashoda nandana braja jana ranjana. Yashoda nandana braja jana ranjana. Jamuna tira vanachari. Jamuna tira vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jara Dama Dava Kunja Bihari. Jara Dama Dava Kunja Bihari. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Astora Sata Sri Srimadis Divine Grace Abhay Charnar Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindiki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Sekaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichanan Shredwaita Gadadar Shiva Sadi Gaurav Bhakta Vrinda Ki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Gir Govardhan Ki Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Sri Ganga Mai Ki Jai Sri Jamuna Mai Ki Jai Srimati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Jai His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, the Lordship Sri Sri Radhi Shamsundar Ki Jai, the Lordship Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, the Lordship Sri Sri Gauri Tai Ki Jai, the Lordship Sri Sri Lakshmi Nrisimhadev Ki Jai, Srimati Radharani Ki Jai, Sri Radhashtami Ki Jai, Itai Gaur Premanandi, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Guranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, The Advent of Lord Krishna. Introduction. So that's chapter 1, text 59. Drisva samatvam tachure. Sache chaiva vyavastitam. Kamsas tushta manarajan. Prahasan idam abravit. Drisva samatam tachure. Sache chaiva vyavastitam. Kamsas tushta manarajan. Prahasani damabravit. Drisva samatam chakchure. Satye chaivam vyavistitim. Kamsas tushta manarajan. Prahasam idam abravit. Please chant.
Drishva samatam tachure.
Sache chaiva vyavastitim. Kamsas tushta manarajan.
Drisva samatam tachure.
Sache chaiva vyavastitim.
Kamsas tushta manarajan.
Rahasan idam abrave.
Drisva samatam tachure.
Sache chaiva vyavastitim.
Kamsas tushta manarajan.
Prasani damabravat. Madhijis.
Drisva samatam tachure.
Sache chaiva vyavastitim. Drishva, by seeing. Samatvam, being equipoised, undisturbed in distress or happiness. Tat, that. Shure, of Vasudev. Satye, in truthfulness. Cha, indeed. Eva, certainly. Vyavastitim, it's a firm situation. Kamsaha, kamsa. Tushta manaha, being very satisfied with Vasudev's behavior in delivering the first child. to keep his promise. Rajan, O Maharaj Parikshit, Prahasan, with a smiling face, Idam, this, Abravit, said. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. My dear King Parikshit, when Kamsa saw that Vasudev, being situated in truthfulness, was completely equipoised in giving him the child, he was very happy. Therefore, with a smiling face, he spoke as follows. Purport. The word samatvam is very significant in this verse. Samatvam refers to one who is always equipoised, unaffected by being by either happiness or distress. Vasudev was so steadily equipoised that he did not seem in the least agitated when delivering his firstborn child into the hands of Kamsa to be killed. In Bhagavad Gita 2:56, it is said, Dikeshu anu digna manaha sukeshu vigata spriyaha. In the material world, one should not be very eager to be happy, nor should one be very much disturbed by material distress. Lord Krishna advised Arjuna, Matra sparsas tu kaunteya sitoshna sukha dukkada agama piyano nityas tam stitiksha bharata. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O son of Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Bhagavad Gita 2:14. The self-realized soul is never disturbed by so-called distress or happiness. And this is especially true of an exalted devotee like Vasudev, who showed this by his practical example. Vasudev was not at all disturbed when delivering his first child to Kamsa to be killed. Om Gyan Timurandasya Gyan Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militani Yenatasmai Shri Guru Pinama. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrstavya Talisha Matushila Vrbhavka Vijinamne Shri Shri Vrindapati Vira Parapatanka Chaitanya Prabhupada Navarana Mashuru Vavya. So, here is described that Vasudev is portraying a very great quality in this situation, a quality of being very undisturbed, being very equipoised in a very troubled situation. And it's one of a great sacrifice that one has to make, or he is making. So, the principle of sacrifice is not something that is uncommon in the material world or in the spiritual world. Even material activities, we find that every day we have to make sacrifices. Sometimes they are normal sacrifices, sometimes they are tremendous sacrifices. And where one is forced into a situation of being sober and balanced, or you go overboard. So, Krishna describes to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, Yat karosi yad asnasi, yaj jahosi dadasi yat, yat tapasasi kaunteya tat kuru samararpanam. That to Arjuna, whatever you do, whatever activities you perform, whatever you offer in sacrifices, should be done as an offering unto me. So here we find Vasudev is actually practicing that, and he's showing us, you know, in a very grave and disturbed circumstance, that he practiced this principle from the Bhagavad Gita. So this sacrifice that Srila Prabhupada is describing here is a great quality, a very great quality, that one has to be really balanced before they can come to this, the level of doing it. Like sitting here speaking about it or you sitting listening, you know, may not sound so bad. But put you in a situation to do it, then it takes on a different parameter. It's not something that can be easily done. So here, this is what one thing that is exemplifying in Vasudeva's character here. And we find that with Radhashmi coming up in a couple of days, Srimati Radharani is also exemplified in a similar way by her character, by her ability to sacrifice everything for the pleasure of the Lord. So much so that it's even stated that Radharani once mentioned that if it gives Krishna's pleasure to hurt my feelings, then that becomes my pleasure. And Lord Chaitanya also quoted that in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in his mood of Radharani. So this quality of sacrifice is there, and it takes on, it's one of love. It's not a sacrifice of abuse. Like in the material world, sacrifices, the result of sacrifice is generally one of abuse, that one may sacrifice his entire energy for his boss or, you know, someone else. And when one does that, generally, the one he's making sacrifices to takes it that, oh, here is one that I can take advantage of, and let me press him more, let me pressure him more. Especially places like India, you find that quite a bit. Like one time Srila Prabhupada even asked one Indian businessman, why are you pressuring your workers so much? Why are you paying them so cheap and having them working so hard? So he answered, well, you know, they would steal and make up the rest. So on his side, he's pressuring. So that's life in the material world. But in Krishna consciousness, sacrifices is one of love. That whenever a devotee makes sacrifice, it's true love for the Lord. So here, I would attempt to describe on both sides how this is so. So on the one hand here with Vasudev, that he was so undisturbed in this distressful situation that it appears as though he was very pleasant when he was offering his child to the Lord, to Kamsa, to be killed. So one may say, well, what sort of Lord do we have that, you know, have his devotees, you know, killing their own children? Well, of course, they're all histories, as Nagaraj Prabhu explained a little bit yesterday, of the reasons why these children have to be killed in this way, and all this philosophy that, because whenever the Lord does something, or whenever he comes on his appearance, and he doesn't only come to fulfill one purpose. There's a package of purposes that are fulfilled through his descent. So here with this sacrifice, Srila Prabhupada explained that it takes quite an exalted position to able to manifest such symptoms. So he describes here as attributing those qualities to such a person like Vasudev. But it should be noted that these qualities are not necessarily the prerequisite quality of a devotee. Because in other places of Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada describes that these qualities of renunciation, of being so renounced and so unattached, that you can that he is willing to give his child with all he knows that is going to be sacrificed, that this quality does not necessarily characterize the quality of a devotee. That a non-devotee can also be as renounced as that. And he gave an example like the Mayavadis, the impersonalists, that they're also renunciants of the material world. So they can also be as renounced to do something like this. So that doesn't qualifies one, that if one makes those sacrifices, that he is a devotee. But in this case of Vasudev, Srila Prabhupada particularly mentioned in this verse that it characterized a great quality of Vasudev, to able to have such a renounced stance in able to perform these sacrifices. So for the devotee, he is willing to make every sacrifice that is there for the Lord, mainly because he is not on the platform of attachment and detachment. The highest level of attachment and detachment that you can find in this material world can be exemplified even as great personalities as the impersonalists and Mayavadis. But a devotee, a Vaishnav, is above that level. It's not explained in this verse, but in other places, Srila Prabhupada explains that a Vaishnav is above attachment and detachment. They don't even consider that this activity is one of attachment, or this activity is one of detachment, that I'm making so much sacrifice that I can even give my own child for the sacrifice, for the sake of the Lord. So that's a transcendental platform, because a devotee thinks that whatever I'm doing should be for the pleasure of the Lord. And if that means that I have to make some grave sacrifices, it's okay. I'm not even considering it as a sacrifice. It becomes a pleasure. So in this case, with Vasudev, it's a pleasure for him because he's helping to promote the Lord's pastimes. So here we understand that, as described in the previous verses, that there are many great personalities, saints and sages and yogis and demigods, who took birth to facilitate the Lord's pastimes. So it's described that there are two categories of those personalities. There are some personalities who took birth to witness the Lord's pastimes, and there are some personalities who took birth to assist in the Lord's pastimes. So even we describe even the cows and the deer and all the other animals in Vraj that took birth to partake in the Lord's pastimes, that they weren't ordinary personalities, they were great sages. Like, for example, Bahula, the cow, we have this wonderful story of how the name came about, Bahulavan. It was from the sacrifice of this cow who spoke her mind and stood up to her word of honor. It's described that Bahula was a great sage. So it's a long story, which takes a whole other class to describe that. But similarly, there are all these personalities. They are very great personalities who came to partake or to witness in the Lord's pastimes. So Vasudev came to assist in the Lord's pastimes, not to witness. So in making that sacrifice and everything within his power to push along and to assist the Lord in his pastimes, he didn't care. It was not a consideration of what sacrifice I have to make. He give everything within his power. So that's how a devotee thinks, that let me make every sacrifice within my power so the Lord's pastimes can go on, or so that the Lord's mission can be propagated. And he thinks in that way, in a very loving way. Similarly with Radharani, that's what in our philosophy and understanding, that's what holds Radharani as the greatest devotee, because she made and she is making the greatest sacrifice for the pleasure of the Lord. So in that sacrifice, the Lord also reciprocates. It's not that it's a stone-hearted situation, that you make sacrifice for me and there is no reciprocation. Because unlike the material world, everything in spiritual activities are being fully recorded and counted by the Lord. Every step that one makes, every penny that one offers, every sacrifice that one makes, the Lord reciprocates much more. So the Lord actually, in allowing his devotees to participate in this way and to make these sacrifices, he binds his devotees with his love. So how to understand that, it might be a little difficult. But when one involves in these activities, then he found that he's actually being bound by the Lord's love, by making all these sacrifices and seeing it as a pleasure. That's why it becomes pleasurable. So the devotee is in a similar position, because the devotee has similar qualities of the Lord. And one such quality is the quality of kindness and the quality of a devotee being a friend of everyone. Just like Krishna describes himself in Bhagavad Gita. Suridam sarva bhutanam. Krishna says, I'm a friend of all. Then he describes his devotee in Bhagavatam. Suridam sarva dehinam. Same thing. That the devotee, my devotee, is a friend of all. So Suridam sarva bhutanam, Suridam sarva dehinam. Same thing, no difference. So it's the same quality, and in regards to this pastime here at Janamashtami, with the appearance of Lord Krishna, as we are still describing here, there's one story with Srila Prabhupada. In the beginning of our movement, Shyam Sundar Prabhu, he told Srila Prabhupada, well, you know, I have to go to jail for something he has done in his past. So Prabhupada said, oh, don't worry about that. Krishna was born in jail. You know, so he put it in such a way that Shyam Sundar felt so, you know, he didn't feel that dejection, or he didn't feel that sorrow that he has to go to jail for a sacrifice. So then after Srila Prabhupada asking, well, oh, you're having to go to jail, what for? He saw it was for some drug-related activity he had in the past. He said, oh, don't worry about that. I also was a drug dealer in my past. So Shyam Sundar said, oh, what? He said, yes, that when I was a pharmacist, you know, I was also dealing with drugs, but pharmaceutical drugs. Then he described how some businessmen are wanting to use his opium license to make a lot of money and saying, well, they're going to share profits with him and blah, 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 blah. So anyway, because of this activity of love, Srila Prabhupada manifested the same of able to trap the devotee and keep them in Krishna consciousness. There's another instance of one devotee, his parents, they were creating a really big stink and trying to harass the movement and wanting their son, to go back home. So after a little while, Srila Prabhupada said, it's going to be best if he actually goes back home. So that day when a devotee was leaving, he called him. He said, before you go, I'm going to initiate you. So he initiated him as Narsingananda. So he said, you know, that means that you'll be fearless and you'll be able to have the strength to practice your Krishna consciousness at home. So like that, Srila Prabhupada gives, you know, reciprocate, because the sacrifice that Bhakta has made for him in assisting him in spreading Lord Chaitanya's movement, he reciprocated. So similarly, the Lord reciprocated, and he's reciprocating with all these devotees who are performing all these sacrifices. Because when a devotee performs sacrifice, is not for any material pleasure, is not for any pleasure of himself, even though he joins in that pleasure. But it becomes a sacrifice for the Lord's benefit and everyone's benefit. So a devotee has no reservation in doing that. That's his position. So on the other hand, the Lord reciprocates. And this is described in the 10th canto, as we're going to come to it sometime in the future, in Lord Brahma's prayers when he addressed the Lord. Tatenu kampam shushamikshamana bunjayat vakman kripavipakam vridvagvapurvir vididam namaste jiveta mukte pade sadayabak. So Lord Brahma addressed, and I'll probably just read it instead. He addressed Lord Krishna. He says, my dear Lord, one who honestly awaits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. And I'll probably read part of the purport. Srila Sridhar Swami explains in his commentary that just as a legitimate son has to simply remain alive to gain an inheritance from his father, one who simply remains alive in Krishna consciousness, following the regulated principles of Bhakti Yoga, automatically becomes eligible to receive the mercy of the personality of Godhead. In other words, he will be promoted to the kingdom of God. The word Su Samakshana indicates that the devotee honestly awaits the mercy of the Lord, the Supreme Lord, even while suffering the painful effects of previous sinful activities. Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that a devotee who fully surrenders unto him is no longer liable to suffer the reactions of his previous karma. So, there's a long purport, but this is just a part of it. So here is on the Lord's part that he reciprocates with the devotee. He just doesn't stone-heartedly use or abuse the devotee in his sacrifices, but he reciprocates with him. Because on the devotee's part, he sees these sacrifices to the Lord very lovingly. He sees it very lovingly. So he doesn't see it as a sacrifice, he sees it as an offering to the Lord in this way. And the Lord sees it that when a devotee makes such a sacrifice that gives everything to me, then I must reciprocate, I must offer much more benefits than that devotee deserves. So when a devotee makes a sacrifice, he doesn't hold a limit. He does as much as is necessary to promote the Lord's pastimes, or to promote his preaching mission. And he sees this, the devotees see that making sacrifice to the Lord, he relishes it, because it's described that unlike the material world, a devotee, and I think I mentioned this sometime in the past as well, that a devotee wants to allow himself to be abused by other devotees in terms of let him be used conveniently by the other devotees in the service of the Lord. So this is something on the transcendental platform, that when you use the word abuse, it doesn't refer to the material meaning of the word abuse. So he allows himself to be used by the other devotees, like we chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We are asking, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your devotional service. So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, and then the temple president come and announce, okay, we need some help in the kitchen to go and, you know, cut some boga, then sometimes you come up with all different excuses. Well, okay, I have to chant my rounds, or okay, I have to listen class, or I have to do something else. So when the opportunity comes for us to be engaged, what we're praying for, sometimes we misunderstood, or we don't grasp it, and we don't take the opportunity. But a devotee, he relishes that opportunity to serve. He takes, and a typical example of this is our own Jayananda Prabhu. He never hesitated to serve in Srila Prabhupada's mission. Never, not in the least. So when he engages in that, or allows himself to be, and Srila Prabhupada uses this term, abused by other devotees, it doesn't mean it in a negative way, that you're being physically abused. It means that you're being, allow yourself to be used by the Lord's arrangement, which in our case, we have ISKCON, and we have the GBC and the other authorities of the temple authorities, the local secretary, the temple president, commander, allow us to engage in Krishna's service. It's actually a direct arrangement by the Lord. Unlike the material world, where we're abused by our boss or each other. So when we carry on in this activities, when we carry on in this fear, then the reciprocation is there from the Lord, that he makes sure that our position at his lotus feet is secured. That's very clear in every aspect of the scripture. Our position becomes very secure when we sacrifice everything within our ability for the sake of the Lord. Like Lord Ram told this to Hanuman, when Hanuman was carrying the huge mountain peaks to build a bridge over Lanka, this little tiny spider was carrying specks. So Hanuman says, "Hey, you little spider, just get out of my way so I can serve the Lord." So Lord Ram corrected him. He said, "In my eyes, you and the spider is equal, because the spider is doing to the best of his ability. It can only carry little specks. And you are doing to the best of your ability. You are carrying large boulders, large mountain peaks." So in that way, the Lord sees us with that equal vision. So he reciprocates. So in this case, if somebody, an outsider or a young devotee, just pull up the Bhagavatam and pull this out of context, read this text here, they can get things out of context, and it can become very troubling that what sort of Lord do we have that is appearing in such a way, such a strange way, that so much kids have to be killed, so much people are getting problems. So if we compare this pastime with some of the other pastimes of the appearance of the Lord, in on his side, we have this, also the story of Lord Ram. There are so many sacrifices, so many sadness, and you know, went on in his Leela. And then you have other appearances like Lord Narsingadev, Lord Varaha, that they appear, they did their business, and they're out there. So like it's not as pleasing and relishable as these pastimes, like it is described that the Ramayana was originally written. How many persons know how many verses the Ramayana was originally written in? Can anyone say? 1 billion verses. Unlike the Bhagavatam, which is only 18,000 verses. So, and there is such a level of sacrifice that Sita Devi had to make. Lord Ram himself made his brother. That's why Lachman made a note that next time I'm not coming as little brother anymore. I'm coming as big brother, so I have some authority, you know. So he came as, you know, Balaram, Lord Nityananda, like that. So anyway, with these pastimes, you know, when the Lord appear in this apparently troubling situation, it becomes more relishing to the devotee. Because Lord Krishna mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, you know, paritranaya sadhanam vinashaya cha duskritam, that he came paritranaya sadhanam, for the protection of the devotees and the pleasure of the devotees. And then his secondary purpose is for the destruction of the demons. Like in Krishna's childhood pastimes, one time Radharani came running. Hey Krishna, what's all this noise about? They can hear it all over the forest. This big rumbling noise, and looked like there was a great disturbance. But Krishna says, "Oh, I was just picking apples for you." So then Balaram says, "Oh, and apart from picking apples, he was just picking a fight with that demon. That's the cow demon, the bull demon that he killed." He said, "Oh, you know, so secondarily he killed that demon, but primarily was the pleasure of the devotee." So Krishna consciousness is like that. Spiritual life is like that. That for the pleasure of the devotee, the Lord appeared, and he came in this, he performed all these different pastimes. And the foremost of, you know, of those pastimes, of all the Lord's Leela, is his Krishna Leela, which we're discussing here. So this reciprocation, everything within the Bhagavatam, everything within our Krishna consciousness movement is one of reciprocation. And reciprocation of love is not something material. The vivid example of that is that within our lives, it's so difficult, even for husband and wife, just one man, one woman, to be together is such a drama. You know, it's such a difficult thing to be together. But Srila Prabhupada created within Krishna consciousness this family that people from all walks of life, all corners of this planet, can come together and live harmoniously and lovingly and serve together. You know, isn't that a great miracle? It is. That, look, you know, I remember when we were going to India for the first time, Only my son had went, and that's when he was just 10 years old, 10, 11 years old. He didn't remember much of India. So we had no idea where we were going. The entire family, we were just eager to go to India. You know, we had my lifelong dream of wanting to go and attend Jagannath Rath Yatra in Jagannath Puri. So as soon as we were able to, we immediately booked our tickets. We don't know where we're going, what we're going to meet. People are discouraging us, hey, you can kill your child because my daughter is just like, I don't know, 6, 7 years old. So anyway, we just made one phone call to one devotee in Delhi. And that was it. For the next month, you know, we were totally taken care of. All by Srila Prabhupada's arrangement, all by Krishna's arrangement. He took care of us from Delhi, made arrangement for us to go to Bhubaneswar. Then that devotee made arrangement to Jagannath Puri. That devotee made arrangement back to Mayapur. That devotee made arrangement to Vrindavan. That devotee made arrangement back to Delhi. So for an entire month, we were like completely satisfied. We had nothing to worry about. Everyone, all these devotees, by Srila Prabhupada's arrangement, make all these arrangements for us to be happy. With all, we knew no one, absolutely. So this is relationship in Krishna consciousness. This is relationship in spiritual life. It's one of loving reciprocation. So I would stop here. If anyone has any comments or questions, we can take them. Oh, yeah, Prabhu?
Sense for the Rath Yatras. It's a nice example.
I guess it's kind of long before, because when I was born in this movement, in other words, when I joined Krishna consciousness, that's all I was doing. I spent with all our temple president, and I was the GBC's servant and secretary. I spent more time sleeping out on the streets and on the grass than I did in the temple for many years. I don't know, from 83 to 90 or something. So, you know, all along, that was my program. We were doing Rath Yatras and Padayatras. And like I was telling my kids the other day, I think the last festival, some devotees were complaining to me that, Prasadam took that late to come after the festival in Clearwater. Prasadam came late and, you know, we were hungry. And you managers have to make better arrangements. So I took that in a favorable way nicely that, okay, we're going to make better arrangements for next year. We're trying to streamline things as we go along. So then I told him the story that when I was doing this earlier, sometimes we would do Rath Yatra and Padayatra for 12 days in a row. And within that 12 days, you know, I was heading up the crew that sets up the tent and go up and prepare the program, make the announcements and blah, 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 going out there. So me and my crew, the only prasadam we got for those 12 days were the prasadam that they would distribute whilst going on the parade. You know, this little package of prasadam. But in Guyana, prasadam is bountiful. Sometimes they give bigger packets like eggplant pakora and stuff like that, not just little nuts, you know. So, like for 12 days, that's what we would eat. And these eggplant pakoras, not like here people are health conscious. There they used to use a lot of oil. So we used to squeeze it out, and we have an entire lotus leaf. We squeeze 12 pakoras sometimes, because we would save some for next morning because we had no breakfast. And it would kind of be filled with oil. We squeeze it out, throw the oil through the window, and we eat that. So from the beginning. So I always had that dream. One day I want to see what's going on in Jagannath Puri. Thank you so much. Yes, Sri Vikram Prabhu.
So, the sacrifice Srila Prabhupada asks of us, chant 16 rungs, follow the four principles, attend the programs, doesn't seem much, at least for one who's trained up, you know, within a few weeks.
Well, yeah.
It's not much, but yet to me it seems like it's difficult for some of us, you know, I mean, even after being here for like years, it's difficult. I mean, can you maybe discuss
little things, because we are here in Kali Yuga, little things can be very difficult for us. Like the other day, was it last Wednesday, you know, this devotee back here, she's sitting there, you know, somehow or the other she figured that whenever I go on the altar on Wednesday mornings, that I'm kind of very particular about how things have to be just so and keep clean, and And Sadhana, now my wife took on this service every so often. She's going and cleaning the entire altar in detail, in great detail. And you can't recognize it from here being afar, but if you go on the altar, sometimes you can recognize when it's clean and when it's very clean. So this devotee, a few times she would apologize. Well, okay, Prabhu, you know, I'm late this morning. I didn't get to clean it as, you know, the way I want it. So then last Wednesday, I told her that, you know, Krishna does not look for the best service. Krishna looks for the best effort from the devotees. So that makes a difference. So if your best effort does not make it as clean as how somebody else wants it, then that is not so very important. What is important is that you have made the best effort. So similarly, with following the regulative principles and chanting your 16 rungs and do all these basic duties, because we came from different backgrounds, we have different abilities. You know, we have different ability, and some of us, it may be very easy for us to do. And some, it may be very difficult. Just like for some of us, it's very difficult to sit here and give a class. And for some of us, it's very easy to do that. So it doesn't mean that for some who is easy to sit and give a class, then that's all they should do because it's very comfortable. No, we should strive to make effort, whatever it takes to do what we have to do. And that's why it's described that it's better to perform one's duty imperfectly than to perform somebody else's duties perfectly. So even our basic duty of chanting 16 rungs and follow the regulative principles, whatever sacrifice one has to perform to get that done, he should do it. Because even here Lord Brahma is saying in the same verse, the Tenu Kamfam verse, you know, Lord Brahma is saying, you know, Srila Prabhupada explained, quoting Sridhar Swami, that if one simply follows the regulative principles of devotional life and patiently waits, then the Lord assures him a place at his lotus feet. So, whatever sacrifice one has to make, we should do that. And sometimes we may criticize someone that, okay, you're not even following the basic principles. Sometimes we do that. And sometimes we do it constructively, sometimes we do it enviously. So there are two types of criticism. One is constructive criticism. Well, let me explain. Envious criticism is that which we just envious of this person, or we just want to comment or criticize this person. Well, you're not following, you're not doing this. That's the bad side. The good side is constructive criticism, which you're doing it out of love and appreciation for that person, and you're offering an alternative. As Srila Prabhupada explains, that constructive means you criticize, but you also offer an alternative, and you help to do something better. So, whenever someone is struggling in some way, you know, we should try to see why that person is struggling and try to help. And we should try to encourage them to come up to a better standard. And those persons may be more sincere than we are who appears to be following nicely. And Srila Prabhupada said that towards the end of his life, his manifestation here, Srila Prabhupada said, he said, you know, one reason why I'm suffering is is because I have chastised and criticized and some devotees who haven't done so much in Krishna consciousness. He said, I've committed offenses to them. He said, because sometimes I call them rascals and I call them all bad names, but I do not know how much effort those devotees place into doing the little that they have done. Sannyas Prabhupada would always be pulling, and that's the purpose of the guru. And that should be the purpose of everyone here in this room and everyone in Krishna consciousness, to help to pull each other to do more service for Krishna, because it's for our benefit. So Srila Prabhupada explains like that, you know, that's one reason why he's suffering. I don't know if that's his sentiment. I would probably say yes, because it describes, and the latter part of this Tatenu Kampam purport, which I didn't read, it explains that when a devotee suffers, like the way Vasudev was in that jail cell situation, a devotee suffers not because of reaction to anything he has done, but because the Lord wants him to let loose of any little attachment he has for his material world. That he gives him some suffering so that he can let loose of that and go ahead and advance more in Krishna consciousness. So it's not because of reaction. Yes, Jitari Prabhu?
That was a nice answer. Thank you, Prabhu. Yeah. Question, you were talking about Vasudev and that he willingly brought his son to Kamsa.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, do we know from, I mean, I haven't read it myself, whether he was doing this because he consciously knew of the extent of Krishna's pastimes, or he was just completely surrendered in whatever Krishna wanted, he was going to, yeah. I mean, he was just...
It's both.
It's both.
Because as you read further down in this chapter, it would explain that. And to the footnotes of this chapter, there's a long footnote here, and all that is explained that Vasudev knew what the Lord's pastimes would manifest to be. And he knew as an instrument that he's here to assist the Lord in that pastimes. That's why he's explaining yesterday's verse that he was begetting a child every year, that he was trying to beget these children as quickly as possible. Which I don't quite agree with him, that one child a year is as quickly as possible, because I'll tell you one funny story. With when I was a little boy, I saw my neighbor's daughter. She got 8 kids in her first 6 years of marriage. So then I wasn't very conscious of, you know, how childbirth goes, blah, blah, blah. I don't know, I was only like 9, 10 years old or something. So then I asked my mom, well, you know, how long does one take, you know, during pregnancy? So she says, you know, 9 months. So then I started calculating, because I like to do math, and since I was a little child, I really like to do math. Anything, I just do with math. So then I started calculating. I said, well, you know what? This is practical, because 9 months, 9 by 12, that is going to be 72 months, and 72 months divided by 6, you know, divided by 12, that's going to be, no, 9 months by 8 children would be 72 months. And 72 months divided to find out how many years, divided by 12 months is 6 years. So indeed, this lady got 8 kids in 6 years. So when Vasudev was taking 1 year per child, that in a sense is a little slow. But he was promoting, he explains that he was promoting, he wants to bring about all these children as quickly as possible so that the 8th child can come, so Krishna's pastimes can be promoted. So, you know, here we find that when he gives his first child, Kamsa appears to be pleased and return the child. But then as we go further, we would hear how the instigator, who is Narad Muni, he's the fiery instigator, like to throw gas on the fire to sprout it more, he would create trouble and cause Kamsa to change his mind. So anyway, yes, it's both, that he surrenders to the will of the Lord, whatever the Lord's will is. Like even confidentially, Srila Prabhupada says, he says that Krishna told him to come. He said Krishna asked him to come to the material world and spread his glories. So then he said, he told Krishna that, you know what, I don't like sacrifices, that I don't like performing austerities. Now Krishna says, don't worry, the austerity is going to be little, it's nothing much, you know, don't worry about it, so come. In some of his confidential conversations, Srila Prabhupada mentioned like that. So then Prabhupada decided, well, whatever is for the pleasure of the Lord, I'm going to do it. So he's fully surrendered. So Vasudeva also is fully surrendered. With all, he knew what the pastimes of the Lord would be. So it's both. He was conscious of in both ways. So yes, he was fully surrendered. Yes, he knew the Lord's pastimes. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna dreamt him when on his way on the Jaladuta. He had his dream, and Krishna told him, don't worry, everything is already arranged. You just go and everything would happen. So Prabhupada came with that confidence. You know, he came with that confidence of surrender and understanding. So when one actually becomes delved in the Lord's pastimes, certain level of confidentiality is revealed, and that certain level of confidence comes for a devotee. And that's why, you know, they're able to perform all these miracles that even presently with our devotees in our mission movement, you see someone perform a lot of miracles because there's something there behind it that pushes them, whether consciously or unconsciously. So, is there anything else? Anyways, I think we will stop here. Thank you so much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.